Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. No te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
From Colombia, the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPARC and Encuentro Radio.
Can you hear me?
A burn in hell poster. You don't have to hate, because my Jesus loves all.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Mirrored Voices. Today I'm with Michelle and Mariana. How are you both doing?
Good.
Hello.
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm so tired, but I'm good.
I do feel like there's a little bit of a tired energy around the station today, but I think it might be due to the sun. I'm obviously very happy that the sun is out. Mariana, less so, I think. You're not a fan of the sun, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm fun to Demi Lovato, but I don't know.
No, of the sun.
Of the sun. I guess sun. Sorry.
That's okay. Easy mistake to make.
No. I prefer the cold, like the normal Bogota, that it's raining, a cold weather, something like that. I prefer that.
Okay, so now that Mariana has revealed herself to be crazy, Michelle, how are you? Are you enjoying the sunshine as much as I am?
Not as much as you. I'm just okay, because like Mariana, I like the normal Bogota weather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm outnumbered here, so I'm going to be careful with what I say. But this week is another important week. All weeks are important, but this week we're talking about something which is very important. And on the 17th of May, I believe, which is this Friday, is the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia. And so today we're going to be talking about all of those topics, looking a little bit at the history, looking about how that intersects with feminism, and looking at some current events which are happening around Latin America. But before we start, Michelle, please could you tell us about the song that we just listened to?
Oh, that was I Really Don't Care from Demi Lovato and Cher. I forget the surname.
Lloyd.
Cher Lloyd, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like it because it's sort of like an anthem for the LGBT community. Like, it's saying, like, at the beginning of the song where Demi Lovato says, "Even if you hate, I don't care because my Jesus loves all." Mm-hmm. So it advocates for equality, and it so happens to be one of my favorite songs.
Nice. I was enjoying listening to it. And I think that's where we're going to start today, is just to remember that whilst there is solidarity within the LGBT community, homophobia, transphobia and biphobia are similar and different. They're not the same, and it's important that we look at them and we talk about the different ways that they can affect the victims, the survivors, the people who are living this every day. So Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about the history of this day?
Okay, so the concept of the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia, either Hobbit in short, was conceived in 2004, but the first celebration took place in 2005. Mm-hmm. The day was specifically chosen to commemorate the World Health Organization's decision in 1990 to declassify homosexuality as a mental disorder. And activities for the day occurred in many countries, including the first LGBT events in the Congo, China, and Bulgaria. In 2009, transphobia was added to the campaign's name, focusing on violence and discrimination against transgender people. And on the eve of May 17, 2009, France became the first country to officially remove transgender issues from its list of mental illnesses. So basically, the day aims to coordinate international events that raise awareness of LGBT rights violations and stimulate interest in LGBT rights works and worldwide. And like all the other years before, this year there's a theme for the date, which says "No one left behind: equality, freedom, and justice for all." And so this year's Ida Hot theme is a call for unity only through solidarity for each other, in which we create a world without injustice when no one is left behind.
Amazing.
So yeah, that is basically the mini history of the day and how important it is for like all the people around the world, because by 2016 commemorations had taken place in over 130 countries. And let's all remember that Ida Hut says is a powerful reminder to fight against discrimination and promote equality for all.
Amen.
That's all I had for you today.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. I mean, I think it's, like you said, it's so important that we remember the progress that's been made, but also the fact that for so many members of the LGBT community, their rights are one of the first things that can be taken away.
Sure.
Especially when you look at particularly the move to right-wing politics, to the extreme right in a lot of countries, the ability to remove people's rights. I think in Italy they removed the right for lesbian couples to put the name of the other mother on the birth certificate, only the birthing mother.
Okay.
And I think in Ghana there's been some different steps to have even more harsher laws against the LGBT community. And so I think it's such an important moment to think, okay, there is progress and that's really important, but how is that, how is it changing, and who is being left behind?
That is true, especially for most African countries, especially in my country for one, because it is actually illegal for anyone to be in a same-sex relationship. So for us, Idahood is like an important day because, I mean, that is the only time that you read about the community in the newspapers and in the media. Mm-hmm. And people actually take an interest in that and celebrate that, like, of course, in many secret groups, but mm-hmm. that's what we have for mm-hmm. now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think also that kind of messaging of no one left behind. I mean, I can't imagine... I guess not only the fear, but the sadness it must be to be in Zimbabwe and having to meet in secret or meet in small groups. And
yeah.
I guess the fear of not just people finding out, but social yeah. ostracization, all sorts of things that happen with that. And at the same time, I know in countries like the UK, mm-hmm. all lots of the conversations about women's safety and progress in that area is being kind of undermined by a lot of transphobia and people yeah. talking about trans women and deciding that this was the most important thing, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But I think that idea of no one being left behind and the fact that this affects everybody, whether you're a member of the LGBT community or not, we all know people who are members of the LGBT community. And so we can't leave anyone behind. No one is safe until we're all safe, right?
Yeah, and true. I guess... Like here in Colombia, it's not illegal to be trans or something like that, but that's not, like, good for other people in the street, because mm-hmm. if you saw a trans people, for a lot of people, it's so uncomfortable, so that. So I guess it's not just have, like, the politics. Mm-hmm. We need trying to change a lot of things, not just for the trans people, I guess, for all the LGBTQ community, because not all the people be like happy with this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people believe that if a child saw that, the child is going to start like thinking that if that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because the statistics show that the boys, if the girls and boys be like homophobic, it's for the parents, because the parents trying to give that idea for the baby. So yeah, I guess we need to start like trying to obviously continue support the community, not just in June or July that it's the big moment.
Yeah, Pride.
For, Pride. I guess in any moment that you can try to help a person that not feels comfortable to talk about the family that he or she's be part of the community, maybe trying to support them, because have just one support, I guess it's a big step for them.
Exactly. We're gonna explore this more, but I think first we'll go to a song.
Yeah, sure,
and we'll be right back.
I'm
Sande Hecht, I believe is her name, and she was singing Backstreet Snow, and I just like the sound. I always take the opportunity whenever I have the music to just pick songs that I like.
Okay.
But I do like the fact that the lyrics talk a lot about finding someone new and feeling like they give you worse. So
okay.
Instead of like, so she, there's a line in there where she sings about feeling like you've been thrown in the gutter in the Backstreet Snow, and now that she's found this person, she is a whole new person and feels like she's found herself. So I thought that was a nice song, and I enjoyed it. So I guess that's the privilege of choosing the music each week. Mariana, tell us what you have to say.
Well, actually, this happened today. Daniel sent me the notice for Encuentro Feminista, but that actually disconnect with the topic for Mirror Voices. So was a concern in Peru over a decree that considered trans people sick. The president of Peru, Dina Boluarte, signed a decree that qualified diverse gender identities as mental disorders. Experts and activists call this decision a setback in terms of LGBTQ community rights.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the World Health Organization no longer considers homosexuality or transsexuality a mental illness, but today in Peru approved that like classified to all like trans people or diverse gender like mental disorders. So like this start like alert a lot of people when start talking about the war of the rights to the lesbian, gays, bisexual, trans and queer people, because according to them it represents a setback in their rights and contradict the provision of international organization. So the Peruvian government claims that this is not a discriminatory measure and that, on the contrary, is the best way to guarantee these people access to the health system. The document like appear about this decree like updates the essential health insurance plan in that country. We contain the list of basic medical procedures that any person affiliated with the health system can access. So in the section on the mental health problem that transsexuals do, role travesty, childhood gender identity disorder, other gender identity disorder, gender identity disorder, not specific, and other sexual orientation. So this was like a new notice that appeared today. So right now there's a lot of people that is talking about that, because we know that there's a lot of activists trying to find to the LGBT community have rights in different countries. Obviously, in countries like here, like Colombia, they have rights, but that's not apply because a trans person call an ambulance never arrived to the place. And that happened, I guess I was like 4 or 5 years ago in the tolerance zone, that it's like Santa Fe. The trans woman called because she feels sick, and the ambulance never arrived, and that woman died.
Oh my goodness!
But it's not illegal here in Colombia to be trans. So yeah, that's like the discussion. Obviously, there's a lot of people trying to asking if this decree is gonna help that people, because if you like identify like a trans person, there's obviously like a lot of people that not be available that you go to a hospital, because the idea if the people saw you in the hospital or in the street, that's not correct. So they're talking about actually about the hormonal
treatment.
And what's going on with that? Because if you like classify like a sick person, like if you have a mental disorder, what's going on with these people? So yeah, it's like a big discussion. Obviously, there's like waiting that other people trying and start talking about that, because the notice appear at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we really don't know what's going on. Obviously, there's a lot of people that know waiting that mm-hmm. is gonna happen, but obviously, there's like a lot of project mm-hmm. talking about the conversion therapies. I don't know if you know what
yeah.
is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something that obviously they continue talking about, and actually is here in Colombia.
Yeah.
It's like a big debate that trying to prohibit these therapies. Obviously, there's a lot of people that not be like agree with that, so we need to wait.
Mm.
That's obviously finished. But yeah, that's like the last notice that I found, thanks to Daniel that sent me that.
Thank you, Daniel Silva.
Yeah, because I guess like notice like this talking about the community, that's not gonna like appear so fast
mm-hmm.
because obviously appear in El Espectador, you can find them. But obviously there's people like not care and not gonna talk about that. But we really don't know what's going on the LGBTQ community in Peru.
Mm. I think it's a very tricky conversation to have, and it's something that's happening in the UK as well, is about talking about the fact that people who are experiencing gender dysmorphia, who are exploring or questioning their gender or already identify as trans,
mm-hmm.
can't access medical help. They can't access the steps that they need to take in order to be able to make the changes they want to make or to be able to just live the life that they want to lead. And lots of people are talking about how we can create a system which helps them. I don't think making trans identity or gender dysmorphia a mental disorder is going to help that, but I do
yeah.
think that there needs to be a conversation about how trans people can access healthcare, because it's a right, it's a fundamental right, and nobody should be denied that. And the experiences that trans people have, at least within the UK, are terrible, and people die before they manage to get to the end of the waiting
yeah.
list to see a doctor, or people choose to take their own lives because they just can't live with this pain anymore and live with this
mm.
idea that their identity is being questioned, that no one will believe them, or that they can't move on with their life and access the hormones or the therapy or whatever they need to be able to live authentically. So I think it is a really important conversation to have. And also with the conversion therapy, still the UK government is refusing to change the law which bans conversion therapy to include trans identity. So there's still a big conversation about how the law obviously needs to change, but as Mariana said, the reality as well of people being able to access healthcare. I know the law in the UK says that a trans person or anybody has the right to see a specialist within 3 months, and
yeah.
that is not happening. There's a 30-40 year waiting list for people to
yeah.
see specialists. So it's tricky when the law, A, doesn't reflect public consciousness, and public consciousness doesn't reflect the law as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess for a lot of people it's so easy said that appear in the politics and no more, but
mm.
we really don't know what's going on, because well, here we have a lot of trans women that die, 8 women in one day, and no one in the government care about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like trying to take like the decision to trying to shame that
mm.
because it's so difficult, because you can saw the face to the
yeah.
people in the
mm.
street, like so uncomfortable because saw a trans people
mm.
in the street, and that that woman or man is just going to other place, not doing anything.
Mm.
So yeah, it's sometimes like uncomfortable, because here in Colombia, well, in Bogota, when it's Pride,
mm-hmm.
appear a lot of people in the street and in the march,
mm.
but every day appear like LGBT community person dead in the street.
Mm.
It's just for the moment, for the pride. So it's so difficult, and I guess there's a lot of people that not care about this topic and actually not have like information about this
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so difficult that the people trying to change
mm.
the idea, if you don't know that the homophobia and biphobia and transphobia have an international day, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. And I think it's something that happens with businesses a lot. I think it's called pinkwashing, when businesses, yeah, particularly during June and July, they come out and celebrate Pride. They have Pride-themed sandwiches or Pride-themed, yeah, whatever it is they're selling. They manage to make it into a Pride theme. And I'm not saying that that isn't important, mm-hmm, but it's a little bit shallow. It's a little bit tokenistic if really for the other 10 months, yeah, of the year, you're not doing anything. You're not supporting your employees, your customers, whoever it is who is part of the LGBT community, and really putting your money where your mouth is. And I guess maybe as well, that can be something that we're all guilty of on an individual level,
yeah,
of thinking, oh yeah, of course, Pride, of course I support the LGBT community. But when it comes to asking difficult questions or confronting your own biases, we're much less likely to take a look in the mirror.
Yeah, I guess it's so difficult.
Mm.
And, well, actually we talk about a little about in the Tertulia, mm-hmm, and how for the old men, it's, mm-hmm, more difficult trying to say that they be part of the community, because for a lot of years, say that it's so bad for your, mm-hmm, family, for your parents. Obviously, the generation change, mm-hmm, but obviously you feel, I defer that someone is going to say you something.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the way that right now there's a lot of people talking about that and old men feel comfortable talking about that, it's so good. I guess it's like a small step, but I, mm-hmm, guess it's helping a lot of people like realize that it's okay that they said that we part of the community.
Mm. And that's like what you said, Michelle, about the theme being not leaving anyone behind, and, mm-hmm, the fact,
yeah,
that anyone and anybody could be part of this community. You can't judge somebody from the way they look. So I think that's really interesting. Shall we go to another song?
Sure. And we are back.
Freak out, got you buzzing, got you worried.
It's tricky. I guess it's just all... That was Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko. And the song is talking about how girls can like girls in the same way that boys can like girls. And obviously, as we're talking about the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia, it's really important that we remember that all relationships are valid and beautiful and people can love each other in any way, in any form. And that is a great thing. And particularly heteronormativity is not the blueprint for all relationships.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a classic kind of microaggression is when someone asks maybe two women who are in a relationship, who's the man and who's the woman, or who's going to be the bride and who's going to be the groom, or who's going to be the mom and who's going to be the dad. And come on, people, heteronormativity, you don't need a man and a woman to be a relationship. So that was my mini rant over, but we're going to continue talking about the 17th of May and this International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia by looking at TERFs. Now, are either of you familiar with the term TERF, T-E-R-F? Oh, I'm getting some confused faces.
Well, I know because you explained it before. But yeah, I guess we have like a word in Spanish, but right now I don't remember. I'm gonna
We'll come back to you. Hold that thought. So TERF is a trans exclusionary radical feminist. Mm-hmm. And this is a group of feminists who are radical, first of all, but who say that trans women don't belong in the feminist movement, they are not women, and therefore when we're talking about women's rights, women's problems, women's safety, trans women shouldn't be included in that conversation because they're not women, they are men. There is a conversation about whether TERF itself is a slur or a derogatory phrase, and I think it's a little bit of a misnomer to have this debate, because really that's not the important thing. I think you can use any word in a derogatory way. That doesn't necessarily make it a slur, but I just would say lots of people who might be named TERFs identify as gender critical feminists. But what does this really mean to be a gender critical feminist? So as I said, somebody who doesn't believe that trans women belong in the feminist movement and they're not women, and that's because they believe that sex is biological and immutable, whereas gender doesn't come into play, and gender identity and gender roles, they are inherently oppressive. So it's quite a philosophical debate, because what I guess a lot of gender critical feminists would say is they're saying that gender itself is a way for men or people who identify as male to dominate, whereas if we're saying we are women and we have these biological attributes of being a woman, then that's why we're women, and that's how we work within society. Which doesn't really make sense, because then when you flip it and you look at trans men who were born biological or assigned female at birth, then you would also class them as women, and so you're getting into a conversation where trans men are being included in the feminist movement but trans women are not. And unfortunately the UK is deemed TERF Island. It's deemed as quite a hotbed for TERFs and for people who are gender critical feminists. A particularly famous gender critical feminist is J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books. And this has actually caused a real rift within, I guess, the generation above ours, maybe like millennial era, who kind of love Harry Potter, and there's a whole kind of cultural movement around it, and how Harry Potter can be seen as quite a like radical, open, like loving community, and then it's the woman who created this is so bigoted in her views against trans women. But I think the one of the biggest problems with this whole conversation is that it changes the focus onto trans women being the problem rather than cis men. So in the UK, there's a whole load of conversations about women's safety. Women are not safe in the UK. We have a lot of problems. We have femicides. You can't walk through the streets. We cannot trust our police. We cannot trust those who are supposed to be able to trust, be able to keep us safe. But in all of this conversation about what it means to be safe for women? How do we create women-only spaces? But then a lot of TERFs, a lot of gender critical feminists say trans women shouldn't be included in those spaces. They shouldn't be included in those conversations. And they would also advocate for us to not have gender-neutral bathrooms, for gender neutrality to not exist. So it's very bigoted. But one of the big problems that I have with it is that this definition of feminism and of womanhood relies A, heavily on biology.
Yeah.
And so what do you say to a woman who cannot have children, or who doesn't have a uterus, or who doesn't have periods, or has had her breasts removed?
Yeah.
Does that make that person less of a woman? I don't think so. And so this whole emphasis on what it means to be biologically woman is not helpful. But also it removes the reality that for trans women in the UK and around the world are some of the most vulnerable women to exist.
Okay.
The fact that we need women's spaces, we need women-only spaces, is not because of trans women, it's because of men.
Yeah.
And a lot of them say, oh, well, if we have a refuge, which is for women who are victims of domestic abuse, what's going to stop a man dressing up as a woman and trying to access the space? And again, you're saying that a trans woman is a man dressing up as a woman, and you're focusing the problem on the trans woman rather than on a man who is choosing to invade a woman's space in order to commit crimes. So it's very difficult to have this conversation when there's just a complete misunderstanding between both sides about what it is to be a woman, and the fact that trans women face so much transphobia, not just from men, not from other people, but from women. And for me, I think feminism should include anyone who wishes to see women to feel safer, and that's trans women as well. So I don't know what you both think, but it's a really tricky topic to navigate. So yeah, I'm going to open it to the floor.
I do agree. It's tricky and very complex because, I mean, at the end of the day, we have people who believe that feminism should be for people who are born with, like, female genitalia, whereas we also have transgender women who are also women because they identify as women, and they probably encounter more challenges than as compared to those who were naturally born as women, because there's homophobia and also like other things that they come across. Like, I remember I was watching this other series this other day. There was a transgender woman who wanted to buy a wedding dress in a store, like an expensive store.
Mm-hmm.
And then the manager there was like, we do not sell these dresses to people of your kind, because that will, like, in a way, damage our reputation.
Mm.
And then she's like, and then the friend was like, I've got this, like, the black card, like the one that shows that a person has a lot of money, so you can just take the money and then we get the dress that we want. And then the guy was like, no, it's not about the money, it's about you people. We cannot sell these things to you people, which I found that it was very sad, because, I mean, even if you do not like someone, at the end of the day, it's a business, and such people, such employees can also affect how people perceive your business.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's a very big problem in the world that we live in today.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more we could do to address it, but then it is very sad.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess, here in Espanol is feminismo trans excluyente.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God, that's like a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and actually, there's a lot of feminists and young feminists saying that the trans woman not be in the feminist because they are not women.
Mm-hmm.
But we need, and that's something that in some tertulias we're trying to explain, like the different about the gender and about the biological sex. And there's like a lot of women that not feel comfortable about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess, and in the feminist that I use for my whole life, I guess I just want to be all the people be good.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. and we have a good work. But obviously there's a lot of women, and in the like straight here in Bogota, obviously there's a lot of women not be available, that the men be there, mm-hmm. and also the trans woman not be there, and it's like, but what are your reason? And they like a lot of moments talk about just the moment that, but it's a man. And actually, we talked with Alejandra in a moment about J.K. Rowling, about all the situation that it's happening to her. I love Harry Potter, but it's so difficult to believe, like, what happened with J.K. Rowling, because there's, like, a lot of ideas that she put in Twitter that, well, X.
Yeah, right now. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Elon Musk's creation.
Yeah, well, before Twitter. That we really notice that there's like a lot of disinformation about the trans people, and about all the ideas, because if you ask a person for a trans people, just talk about the idea that it's like a man or it's a woman, but we really don't know how that person feels, and how it's so difficult to take the decision to be part or be a trans woman or a trans man. Actually, there's like an activist in Mexico that called Wendy Guevara, that she's so famous, and she said that she not feel like a woman, she feel like a trans girl, because she, like, in her thought, she said like the woman is the person that can create a life.
Okay.
Yeah, but she said that it's her opinion. Not all the people that follow, we need to believe in that, because obviously all the history that for her, it's so difficult, because she was raped for a lot of times. So yeah, it's like not all the opinions in the community are the same, because that's other thing that the people believe. Because, and I guess for me it's so difficult explaining Spanish, so in English it's more difficult. So yeah, I try to explain my friends or my family or in the program the different about transsexual, transgender, and, well, in Spanish, travesti.
Transvestite.
Yeah. So we just really, that trans people is just one.
Yeah.
And that's not true. And I guess that information we obviously, like, trying to continue sharing, because if you really don't understand the difference, it's more difficult trying to understand the fight for these people, because all the people just said the trans community, but like there's difference between in that community, and obviously not all the people, but there's bisexual people that be transphobic, and that happened. But I guess in the feminist, it's so difficult said like a trans woman not be part of them, because we are trying to fight the equality for everyone. So how you are saying that the trans woman can be there if we are trying to fund equality for everyone?
Exactly.
Not just for the man and the woman, because I guess, and that's something that we need to understand, that we are not alone in this world.
No.
There are men, there are women, but there are people that don't feel comfortable about with the social structure about the men, about the woman. And actually, there's people like born like a guy and feel like a girl, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's so difficult trying to talk a person, not like a feminist, not be agree with the trans woman.
But it doesn't, I mean, I completely agree with you that we're fighting for everyone's rights, and also for people who don't identify as any gender or a mix of genders or a gender fluid or non-binary. But I also think it just doesn't make sense, because when people say, when you start to explore, okay, so if trans women aren't women, what is a woman? It seems to come back time and time again, the ability for someone to reproduce children, the ability to breastfeed, the ability to have a uterus. My sister can't have children. Does that make her less of a woman? I have people in my friends and family who don't have breasts anymore because they had breast cancer and they were removed, or there are people who are born with various different forms of reproductive system, and therefore I just think it comes back to a very weird definition of womanhood if it's just about making children. And also, as a woman who doesn't want children, I don't want to be defined by my ability to have or to not have children. I don't want my womanhood to be defined as whether I can have a child or not. And then it also comes back to the fact that if we go down that route, then trans men would be considered women. And so you're fighting for the rights of trans men who have all the reproductive or the sexual organs to that are female rather than male. So it just doesn't make any sense. But I think it comes back to patience. Like you said, we have to talk to people, we have to educate people, understanding that everyone's experience is going to be different. With the woman who went to the wedding dress shop,
yeah,
you know, there are so many trans people that you would never ever know that they were trans. That doesn't make them any more or less trans, any more or less woman or man, depending on what stage you're at, especially because access to medical care is so difficult that lots of people can't, they can't get the changes that they want to get. That doesn't make them any less of a woman.
True.
And I think a lot of it comes down to empathy. I think it always comes back down to empathy. We were talking during the song break about people who refuse to use other people's pronouns, and maybe in English it's easier than it is in Spanish, as you were explaining. But, you know, within all languages.
The same with all languages.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting now and I'm thinking in Shona, if someone is they, them, how would we address them in my language? I can't find the word. So
it's difficult.
A language thing.
But then we were talking about how language changes, and language has changed over decades, millennia.
Yeah.
People don't speak the same way that they did 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 50 years ago.
True.
And I think it comes down to an empathy thing of, okay, even if I don't understand something, even if the idea of meeting somebody non-binary or trans or whatever is new to me, that doesn't mean you can't be empathetic and you can't think, okay, well, I can respect this person, I can respect how they want to express themselves, and I can express my respect to them in the way that I express myself too. And I think it comes a lot down to empathy and ability to learn. I think the importance of the 17th of May, of this day, is, yes, we don't want to leave anyone behind, but that also means that all of us have to take a look at ourselves and look at how we can learn, how we can educate ourselves about people's experience. I'm not part of that community. That doesn't mean I can't educate myself, expose myself to creators, to content, to artists, to musicians who are part of that community, part of the LGBT community, and try and gain an insight. I'm looking at the time. Does anyone have any final thoughts they would like to share? Ooh. Is that a no?
No, yeah. I guess, like, in the language, oh my God, in Spanish, it's so difficult. Because when, like, in English, we can say doctors, but in Spanish, you need to, like, show if it's a man or a woman, doctor and doctora. And all these things. And like Michelle, if we're trying to find like a word to say they, oh my God. It's like ellos, but that's for men. Ellas, but that's for women. And what happened with the non-binary people? So yeah, the language, it's so difficult. And I guess I have like a lot of conversation with people, like it's gonna teaching like be a Spanish teacher, and there's like, no, but why are you like ruin the language, like really? And obviously I trying to explain the idea for this, but it's no, but it's okay with ellos and ellas, it's for everyone. It's like no. But you need to start like understand about the genre and all these things. So it's difficult, but I guess step and step we can try to change that.
One day at a time.
I think we're gonna go to a last song.
Sure.
Why not? Have all the power, Mariana.
Oh, that's true. Well, thank you so much for everyone who listens today. See you on the other Wednesday.
Next come week, back soon. Same place, same time, same team.
And remember, 17th of May.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All I am is the man. I stand in California.
forget your ways. And then I watch your face, put my finger on your tongue, cause you love to take that. These hearts adore everyone the other beats hardest for. Inside